So what book are we studying? All right, Malachi, great name. It means messenger. And I have a message for you today. Hopefully, according to the title, a great message. And it really falls on the fact that we've learned that God has great love for us, and God has a great name. So therefore, God wants us to know there's a great message linking those truths together. And I just want to share that with you. Before I read the passage of Malachi 2, 1 to 9, I want to give you a statement that kind of really declares what this message is about. And I thought about reading it and sitting down, and we can get out of here early, but there's some other things we need to learn. But here's the statement. God is so worthy to have his name honored and glorified that if you and I will not set our hearts to honor his name, he will find someone who will. Sobering thought. And he did so. 400 years after this message from Malachi, Jesus Christ comes onto the scene and lives out this message perfectly. He is worthy of our honor and glory to him. Thank you, Lord. Let me just read through this. If you could put up on the overhead there, you can read with me. We're going to read the 9 verses through, then we're going to go back and kind of unpack a little bit and just share some points I think that we need to hear about today. Malachi 2, verses 1 to 9. And now this is the admonition, and this is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace. I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching you have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. Pretty sobering passage. Especially to the priest, to the teachers, to the instructors. We can make this applicable for us. We bring it forth into our time. And even for us here, those of us who teach God's word from up front, wow, sobering. God really talked to my heart. This is an awesome responsibility. And we're going to look into that. But it's not just for those who teach and preach. I'm going to relate this to you guys, and you're going to be responsible as well as we get towards the end of this message, because I really believe it's appropriate and right. But as I study this passage, and from the years that I've studied God's Word, it came again to me as God revealed His heart. There's a lot of emotion in here from the Lord. How many times does He say, "I have said the Lord Almighty"? There's anger in here. There's great emotion with the love that He has for His people and the disappointment that they have been time and time and time again. And you know, if you and I love God and the things of God, that has got to penetrate to our hearts. We've got to hurt for how we a people live before the Lord Almighty. It's over and over again. And it just shows the immense love and patience that God has for His people, that He doesn't give up or wipe them out. Now, in this particular passage, these priests see to it that their ministry is done. What a tragedy. Because it doesn't have to be if we will be faithful before the Lord. And you know, I thought of a story that just kind of helps that. I don't know where you guys are at on your level of God deserves honor and praise and glory. It's everywhere in the Scriptures, but it needs to be super high. I remember one time, LaWayne and I, and we hear it at church, were involved in a family's life where it was pretty destructive. The husband was a drunk, he was abusive, and LaWayne and I took this gal and her two sons into our home for some time. And I believe it was a reasonable request because we were taking her in, we were feeding her, providing shelter for her, and all I asked was, "Do not smoke in my house." Okay, no problem. Now, what she didn't know was that Chick is very sensitive to smoke. So whether she tried to spray Lysol or not, she got caught every time. I can sniff out a smoke-filled room. You know, you go to a motel, smoke-free. Oh yeah, smoke-free. You walk in, no. It's not smoke-free. It stinks. Okay? So I really believed it was a reasonable request to ask her not to smoke in my home. How many agree that's reasonable? Okay. I'm not any special, but LaWayne and I opened our home. It was a right thing to do. God created the universe, gave you and I breath. We learned this in our small group. He decides and determines the places that I live, the things that I do, gives me the breath. And He has a request for us. Honor my name. Is it reasonable? You bet it is. And we don't come close. We think we can disguise our sin from Him. And He sniffs it out. I could tell every time she smoked, and eventually she stopped smoking in the house. It wasn't a big deal. All she had to do was down the front steps and smoke and come back in again. Eventually she did that. God is asking us to honor His name. And it really helped me understand. The Scripture says this: our sins come up to God's nostrils and they're a stench in His nostrils. As much as I hate that smoke, it gave me a glimpse of what God endures with us. A very reasonable request to honor His name and share who He is. All right, let's go back in here. I think this is a powerful portion of what God is in the message that we have today, and I'm going to tie this at the end. But verse 2 says this. This is after He has an admonition for them. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, I will send a curse. That is God's message. Not only honor my name, which George talked about last week, set your heart on it. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the message. But he goes on to say that, and you haven't done it, so the curse is already coming. And listen to the one of the things that he's going to bring about. I want you to get a clear picture here. Verse 3. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants, or cut them off. These particular priests were done. And I will spread on your faces the offal of your festival sacrifices. How many people know what offal is? Give me a word. What's that? The piece that's left, or another translation is, or the dung part. All right? If you listen to Mike Rowe from Dirtiest Jobs, he calls it poo. Okay? You're getting the picture. Not a good thing. I will rub your faces in it. Now, what they did with the end of the sacrifice that was just all the trash and the rubbish and the junk, they would take it and put it outside the gate because it wasn't to be part of that sacrifice. That's what God is saying to these priests. You're done. I'm putting you outside the gate. Oh, that we wouldn't hear those words. Then he goes on to say, verse 4, and you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Now, don't get the idea that this was Levi, the person Levi, who was the third son of Jacob through Leah. What it's referring to here is the whole tribe of Levi. And in particular, we're going to look at this. This is related back to a guy in Numbers who was Aaron's grandson, whose name was Phinehas. And don't get him confused with the Hophni and Phinehas of the priest Eli. Possibly Eli named his son Phinehas because Phinehas of Aaron was a good guy. But Phinehas of Eli was not a good guy. And he ended up dead, his brother. Let's go back to Numbers. And before I read this, let me just give you a little insight of what's going on in the story. Moses and Aaron are here trying to teach the people what God wants them to do. There's a nation, Moabite, who's kind of infiltrating their ranks, which, ironically, this is what we're going to touch on the next time we talk about Malachi, is the people indulge themselves into marriage of people outside of Israel, which was a command not to do. But not only that, the nation of Israel allowed the Moabites to infiltrate, and they were sexually oriented people. When they worshiped their gods, they worshiped sexually. And Israel became a part of that, and they always had in their worship sexual activity. And it was beginning to really have an effect on Israel. So that much, God, because of it, allowed a plague to begin to take place, and the plague kept growing and growing and growing. And one man stood up, a priest who was willing to stand up for God. And we want to look at this in verse, you can put that up on the board. Numbers 25, 10 to 13. Here's the climax of this story. The Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and the son of Aaron." Eleazar is Phinehas' dad, and Eleazar's dad is Aaron. "The priest has turned my anger." He's turned it from the Israelites. God is so angry here. "For he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them, allow this plague to keep going. Therefore, tell him, Phinehas, I am making my covenant of peace with him." Now, what Phinehas did, and this is, and if I read it correctly, I think this is the picture. They brought a Moabite prostitute right into camp. Now think about that. Let's put it in an outside arena, because that's where the Israelites were. What if we had a picnic and some promiscuous woman came into our midst, and some of the guys, right then there on the picnic, got a little frisky with her? Would that be an abomination for a sunny morning picnic? You bet it would. This woman comes into the camp, and one guy grabs her, takes her into the tent to do his thing. And Phinehas picks up a spear. The way I read it, and you can try to picture this, impels the spear in the act and impels both of them. One shot, whoosh, right through them. And God said, "You honored my name, because we will not put up with this." Wow, what a call for that. So here's what God says to Phinehas. He, verse 13, "and his descendants will have a covenant of lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for Israel." Wow, what a guy who stood up against so many people who were giving in to the temptation to dishonor God's name. Let's go to verse 6 in Malachi 2. Because here's what God wants. "True instruction was in his mouth." We're talking about Phinehas. "And nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and righteousness and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty." Very ironic, but this is how God always works. In our Saturday morning Bible study, we learned this week on Pilgrim's Progress that Christian was to go to the house where the interpreter was, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings him into different rooms, which is really a time for Christian to understand the church doctrine and what God wants him to know about. I think we're going in and out here once in a while. Does that mean? Okay. But there was a time where the interpreter took Christian to a room, and there was a picture on the wall. And most believe that this was a picture of John Bunyan's pastor. But here's what it said about that, because here's what you need to know. If you want to be part of God's program in the New Testament, you need to be part of a church. And you need to be understanding what God wants the leadership of that church to be like. But here's what John Bunyan has some different points here about leadership, and they use this verse to amplify that and to "for the ought to preserve knowledge." Should I use this other mic down here, Dave? Okay, I'm going to use this down here. Oh, turn me off up here so we don't have feedback. Can you hear me now? All right. I want you to hear this. All right. Okay, here's what John Bunyan believes a man of God should be, or anyone who holds up the Word of God and wants to be instructed. He should be grave. We learned that means serious, sober, and reserved. A godly pastor has eyes lifted to heaven. This is the description of the picture on the wall. He has eyes lifted to heaven, more concerned with heavenly things like God's attributes, godly character traits, God's commands than earthly things like health, wealth, prosperity, and other felt needs. He has the best of books in his hand. Scripture is his number one resource and constant companion versus worldly wisdom, pop psychology, and or books that emphasize humanistic, pragmatic thinking. He has the law of truth written upon his lips. He doesn't just quote scripture to justify his ideas and philosophies, but he rightly interprets it and proclaims that only. And so when he speaks words of counsel, the words that come from his lips are words that are either scripture itself or truth of scripture. He stands if pleading with men. His passion is the souls of men versus the praise, popularity, and prosperity of men. He loves them so that he may save them. The world is behind his back, and he has a crown of gold on his head. The only rewards he's concerned about is heaven. That's John Bunyan's description of someone who should be up here in the pulpit telling and teaching God's word. Whoa. God, help us here at Hope to be that. Are you praying for the teachers who teach you? Pray, pray, pray. It's an awesome responsibility. Okay, it doesn't end on an up note, but I believe it's going to end on an up note for us. Verse 8, but you have turned from the way of your teaching, and you have caused many to stumble. I think it was Jesus who said, when someone teaches someone to stumble, what's going to happen to them? Does anybody remember? Better than a millstone be tied around their back and thrown into the sea. That's how important it is for you and I who teach God's word, and it's just not up here. Our learning center teachers, our small groups, parents, our children. You are teachers of God's word, or at least should be. Don't take this responsibility lightly. It is powerful. And it is so wonderful to see all the godly parents who desire, we use this word admonition today in our passage. We encourage that we train our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Admonition really means to be a gentle rebuke. This is really a bad translation in the NIV. The real translation is command. God's taken this a little bit stronger than admonition, but admonition is a gentle rebuke. You want them to move along the way they should. That's what we should be doing to our children. And you know what? We have a lot of teachers here in a lot of different areas. So this message is for you and I. Take teaching God's word seriously. Be men and women of the word who divide or handle it correctly. Let me finish this passage here. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. If you could turn to 1 Peter 2:9. We don't get out of this room without being caught here. This is for everyone. If you name the name of Christ, here's what Peter says you are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You have the position of being a priest because you are declaring God's word. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This message is for you. You need to be a priest and instructor of God's word and do it carefully and correctly wherever you go. And that message is for me too. Turn to Colossians 3:16. Jeremy. I want to kind of wrap up this as we work towards communion. Malachi, a message from the Old Testament about the sacrifices and how they mishandled it and how they allowed blind lambs to be used as sacrifices. God wants our worship to be pure and holy. It says this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach, this is for everyone, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now let's go back to the passage that I really think punches this in. God wanted Malachi to say to the people, set your hearts on honoring my name. Set, to fix, to establish. Is your heart fixed, set on living out every day for the King of the universe, God Almighty? God wants nothing less. We're to present ourselves as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He wants all of us. And we need to set, as Colossians in chapter 1 says, we need to set our affections on things above. That's what we're learning through the Pilgrim's Progress Saturday morning Bible study. We want nothing else but to fix our eyes on the goal, the celestial city. And we've got to learn what keeps us off the straight path, because there's so many diversities that we can take. That's the call for this message today. Set your hearts on honoring God. What does it mean to honor God? One of the great words that I've been taught about honoring is to value. Whatever you value, you will honor. Do we elevate, exalt God in every aspect of our lives? Again, I don't want to beat you up with this. God is worthy of our honor and praise. And when we do that, boy, there's so much benefit for us. But he is worthy of it. Let's ask God to help us to love him so much that we are willing to honor him in everything we do and say. Here's an old song that I brought up that I just want us to sing. And we can sing an a cappella, okay? From Revelations, God is worthy for us to honor his name above everything else. Let me just pray for us before we sing this and sing this as a worship song. Father, if you've touched our hearts today, that we don't want to be like the priest in Malachi's day who dishonored you. We don't want to be a people who take lightly our sacrifice of praise, giving our very lives to you. Help us now as we sing this song to let it come from the heart, so we will really believe you are worthy of our praise, our worship. Everything we have and everything we do is yours.